You are listening to yet another one of the fine members of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more of the member shows over at techpodcasts.com.
You're listening to Australia's number one tech podcast. Every week, join hosts Brad and Jason here on the Tech Webcast. Download our iPhone app, follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and visit us online at techwebcast.info. Here are your hosts, Brad and Jason.
Welcome to episode 158 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 15th of October, 2011. Tech Webcast is recorded live every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. Today's hosts are Brad, Jason, and Aaron. And our guest is Michael Tucker. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hey, Jason. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Very happy, actually.
That's the way. Now, you got the iPhone 4S on Friday, mate?
Yes, certainly did. I was lucky, too. I lined up at Parramatta Telstra shop. There's only about half a dozen people in front of me. And then after about 10 minutes, a couple of people had gone in and one guy got a phone call, so he had to leave. I bet he was very annoyed about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he would
and
be.
And then we moved up. I was the last person in line. And one other person turned up not long after that, but they wanted a 64 gig. I said, well, they haven't got any left. They only had two. When I got there, they had no 64 gigs and just two 32 gig black.
Okay.
I wanted one of those. So a few more people went in front of me. I guess they got 16 gigs, and then it was my turn. I got the last 32 gig black in stock.
Good stuff.
So now, way happy with that.
I'm sure you are. Now, explain to people what's in the new features and that sort of thing.
We've got a faster processor in there.
Yep.
You can see. I'll just put up to the screen there on the camera.
Yep.
Faster processor. It's got 8 megapixel camera now.
Okay.
And it's got Siri, personal slave. I mean, assistant.
I love Siri. I will be getting the 4S. I'm not sure. Probably in a couple of weeks. I will be getting one just because of that. And also the 1080p video. Have you recorded any videos yet on the phone?
No, I haven't tried videos. I've done a couple of photos, but nothing major. So we'll have to do some testing of that, and we can post some photos on techwebcast.info.
Cool. Can't wait for that, mate. Also, the OS 5 came out the other day. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I had terrible time upgrading with that because I had a developer's account with Apple, and I'd been running the betas for the last couple of months or so and using cloud. Love the iCloud's fantastic.
Cool.
When it came to upgrading, there seemed to be a bug or something in that. When you hit check for new updates, it said because yours is iOS 5 and the latest one is iOS 5, you've got the latest version, so there's nothing to update.
Oh, okay.
So I tried to do a restore, and then it gives errors that it can't connect to. It couldn't find a resource to download. Not that the server was missing or anything like that other people had, but it just didn't have a resource to update it with. So I did a search around and found that I think it was Gizmodo had posted links directly to the firmwares for each device. So I just clicked and downloaded it from there and did a manual restore, and that worked fine. So.
Good stuff.
Long way around to do it, but it works really well. And as I said, I've been using the cloud for some time, and it's great for doing backups. It usually does it about 11 o'clock at night while I've got it plugged into power and a Wi-Fi.
Yep.
And, never had any problems with it. So it's great to be able to just restore stuff. And my 8-year-old daughter is very happy because she got the 3GS.
Oh, good on her. Enjoy the phone.
Everyone says that she's very spoiled.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a working SIM in it. The SIM is deactivated. It's got my old SIM, so she can't make phone calls. But the good thing about that is she had a Nintendo DS Lite.
Oh, yeah.
And to buy games for that is like $40 to $80.
Wow.
Now she's got a better device, and anytime I buy a game for 99 cents or $2 for myself, she gets a free copy because it goes on all the devices for free. So
that is good. That is great, isn't it?
Much better way of doing things. Is it any wonder that the iPhone's becoming the number one gaming handheld device in the world?
Definitely. I agree with that one. Now we've got Aaron on Skype as well. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
How you going, mate? Now, did you update your iPhone?
I sure did. I didn't do it straight away, though. One thing I've learned a long time ago is that you never get something like straight away. Mm. That morning, as soon as it's released, the Apple activation servers actually crashed.
Yeah.
So it didn't surprise me one bit that everyone was struggling with their updates. So I just held back until that night, and then I did my updates, and yeah, it's been fantastic. I'm really happy with it.
Good stuff, good stuff. Now, Jason, can we get a demo of Siri, please?
Yep, hang on, I'll just grab Siri.
Siri, yeah, Siri is around, is she? Now, is Siri, yeah, she's a what's her name? Siri, isn't it? Yeah. Siri. Siri, hello, are you there?
Hello, Siri. Hang on. Hello, Siri.
Hi.
What's the best smartphone to buy?
You're kidding, right?
You're kidding, right?
We got a different answer.
What do you think of the Android phones?
I don't understand, but think of Android phones.
Does anybody want to ask Siri a question? How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I do. What are you wearing?
Calling there in Tom.
Yep. Try again. Go.
What are you wearing?
Too much noise in the background for answering noise. That one.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a great phone, mate. Enjoy it. And yeah, that's going to be some.
Yeah, it's great because you can do things like book me an appointment at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon with my friend, you know, Bill.
Yep.
And, see you, mate.
It'll send a email to him for you.
This is the live recording.
He'll send an email to your friend to say this appointment been booked and then put it in your calendar for you. So it's quite neat.
Good stuff. Now, also, you've been getting some really good Telstra speeds, Jason, on your new phone, mate. Explain people about that as well.
Yeah, with Telstra running the 4S, I've done some speed tests. I'll put screenshots in the video feed, but you can see in there that I usually get between 6 to 7 meg down, whereas if I try the same speed test over my Wi-Fi ADSL, I get 2.
Wow.
So major difference there. It's great because I've got 1.5 gigs, which is fine for me. You know, a lot of people are like, I'm going to stick with Vodafone because I'll get 6 gigs, even though I get no signal.
Yeah.
What's the point of that? 1.5 gigs is fine for me because I never hit my 1 gig limit that I had with my 3GS. But, you know, you do browse through the App Store and you hit download and then suddenly it's installed.
Definitely. Yeah,
so
definitely.
Fast.
It is. Very, yeah, it would be. And now, what's the difference? Now, the iPhone 4 and the 4S, has the iPhone 4S got something different in it now to do with the speed or
3G? Yeah, it's got the A5 chip in it, the same as the iPad 2.
Okay.
So it's dual core, very fast, and apparently it runs graphics about 7 times faster than the 4 does.
Right.
And it's got the 8-megapixel camera, which can do 1080p video at 30 frames a second. I've yet to try that out, but it should be very interesting.
Okay. All right.
For me, upgrading from 3GS to a 4, it's
definitely.
No-brainer.
Yes. Definitely. Just do it. Definitely. Now, what about people with the iPhone 4? Is that worth upgrading to the 4S or just hanging on to the 4?
I would say it's up to those people as to their own personal preference. Some people are like, well, it's not enough of an update. I'll wait till iPhone 5, which is fine.
Yeah.
A lot of people will still be only halfway through their current 2-year contract, so they'll wait for the iPhone 5, and the rest who really like to have the new phone that's even better will get it with the extra features.
Yeah, yeah. I think I will get one soon, but I'll see what happens.
I saw Robert Scoble posting on Google Plus some photo comparisons between the Samsung Galaxy S2, the iPhone 4, and the iPhone 4S, and he says the image does look just enough better than the iPhone 4 and much better than the Galaxy to warrant having it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah, definitely. And what about you, Aaron? Would you be upgrading to the 4S or going to hang on to your iPhone 4 for a bit?
Well, yeah, like I was telling you guys off air that I'm actually going to try and get out of my iPhone 4 contract just because I'm unhappy with the deal that I've got. So if I got out of the contract, then I'd need another iPhone. So the 4S would be the way to go. But basically, I'm pretty happy with the 4, like in terms of being happy with the phone. So I wouldn't be looking to upgrade. I might happen to do it out of necessity more than anything else, you know.
Not enough of a big jump for you?
No. I mean, the 4 is still a great phone. In fact, you know, when the 4S was launched, I made the comment on Twitter that the iPhone 4 just became the smartest, like the most popular phone in the world, and it became cheaper. So I think that phone still is going to kick ass in terms of sales, and it's still a fantastic phone.
For a lot of people,
you know, I think it's great.
For a lot of people, it'll be good enough.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, more than good enough. Yeah,
more than good enough. Yeah, definitely. Now, let's talk about OS 5, the features. Now, you guys, have you been playing with the iOS 5 since it's been out, or Aaron, have you been
playing? Oh, no, I've been playing with it since it's been beta.
yeah, that's probably a dumb question.
Notifications is quite good, as I've said before. The problem is if you're doing a flicking around game and drawing stuff on the screen with lines, your finger goes up to the top, comes down, particularly with Fruit Ninja or something, it'll activate the notification, so that can be a bit of a pain. But other than that, it's much better, of course, than the previous notification where you get three or four and suddenly you don't know what they were because they've vanished. So you have to go through and find which application's got a little red marker on it with a 1, 2, 3 or something to find out which is the one that got the notification. But now everything's there. You get your weather in there. And if you're in stocks, the stocks is built into it. Quite good. So I updated my 3GS and my iPad 2, and I've still got to do my Apple TV. I updated my MacBook Pro, so that's probably used up about 3.5 to 4 gigs worth of quota there.
Cool.
But, the cloud is now also on my MacBook Pro, so that's quite neat. It'll be able to sync all my stuff up there as well.
I'm going to buy some more storage soon too. 5 gig probably won't be enough for me.
Yeah, I've seen a few offers coming out with companies. There's a company today, Backify, I think it's called, and it'll give you 512 gigs free storage for life, apparently. I'm not sure what the catch is.
Okay.
Check it out, have a look and see if there's anything there that's something you might like.
Interesting. Okay. All right. We've got Michael on Skype to have a chat with us. Hey, Michael. Is Michael around or is he gone off Skype?
He might have muted.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's talk about what else has been happening, Jason. You got the 4S and that sort of thing and... Any news you want to report on?
Can't think of anything at this stage.
What about iMessage? Have you been using iMessages? I love iMessages.
A friend of mine in the UK, she wanted to try out iMessage, so I gave her my mobile number and she sent an iMessage straight to it. But the first one that she sent came through as a text, and then when I replied, it went through iMessage because it had both our phone numbers after that and we were both in the network. So I guess there must be some way where it compares the two phone numbers and then goes to the Apple servers and says, does this person have an iPhone with iMessage? Yeah. And if it says yes, then it just sends it through there automatically. So that's very nice. And after that, we also added on our email addresses, and people have been just swapping email addresses for their Apple ID, and they can send iMessage through there, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they can. Yeah, it looks looks great on the iPad.
Brad, have you got me now?
Yep.
Yeah, we do. Yep, we do.
Ah, cool. That's all right. I was just playing around with the microphone and muting.
Okay,
I've got a couple of little gremlins sitting in the background that like to make a lot of noise, so we're having a bit of fun with them as well. So,
cool, mate, cool. Now, Michael, tell us about what you do, mate. What do you do?
I work with live video and do the streaming and stuff.
Yep.
And with the advent of the Google Plus and the Hangouts, that's just blown that way out of proportion. As you know, we've been on several Hangouts together.
Yep.
But to actually capture that and send that out to other people as a conversation really opens up the ability for different people to actually get to know all sorts of different people that you would not normally follow and understand what they're about. So I reckon that's great. But how I got started with that was I turn up at networking events and I would listen to some really, really cool stories, and it's the stories that really give me the kick. And so I'd listen to them and think, well, why is it only being told to 40 people? You know, why can't this be pushed out even further, and why aren't we able to do that live? So I went and did the investigation on that and learned a stack of stuff about actually setting up a computer properly, doing the video properly, doing the lighting, doing all that fairly technical information and actually getting it so that it can work properly. And so I've put out various programs, some for a long period. I think the longest I did was for about 6 hours. That was a long seminar, and it was a lot of work.
Wow.
I think the next one down was about 4 hours. That was for when we had all of the floods back in January. We sent out a relief appeal for the local businesses and stuff, and we sent that out around the world. And that was great fun. there's several little events that I've covered, but now with the advent with the Hangouts and stuff, just actually capturing those and sending them out is where I'm looking at next. So they're really cool, fun to play with.
Cool. So, sounds good.
I was just catching my breath. yeah. So that's where I look at that. And so the step from that is to actually marry people with like people who've got an idea or something with people who want to see that idea, and use the technical prowess of actually, well, this is how it's done, and moving it on beyond that. And that's where I'm at with that. So it's the other one with that is I looked at it very carefully. There's two or three models that most use, and traditional television media and the radio and stuff, they use much the same. Is you can sponsor it, like you pay per view, or you can go and get a sponsor and they advertise as we see on the TV when they broadcast and we get all the ads and stuff, and everyone walks away, does their other bit. But all the other ones are actually a combination of both. And so my thought around that now is actually to find sponsors rather than, because people don't necessarily want to pay for turning up on on an event unless it's something that they really, really need or want and stuff. But I know people that actually do pay-per-view, and some of them charge $100 for a ticket. And I know one in particular that charges $500 for a weekend event. So it is possible to actually look at that. But my favourite for just the general that just wants to have a browse and stuff is do what many channels would do, and that's to actually put in for sponsorship up front. So we're out looking for sponsors and stuff for various programs, much like yourself. So I know that we've talked about this before, Brad and Jason, where we've talked about different aspects of how to actually fund these programs that we all run.
Yeah. I've seen he was a photo of you standing next to the bridge in Sydney doing you're on the news or something, Michael.
That was the
Sydney Harbour Bridge.
No, that was there's two bridges in Australia that are exactly the same. The one over the Brisbane River, and the Sydney one.
Oh, okay.
So the Sydney Harbour Bridge, they're exactly the same design. Yeah, I was sitting underneath the Story Bridge.
Ah, right. Okay.
Cool. So yeah, and they're cool. It's such a cool thing. And of course, with the advent of our iPhone 4 and 4S, it's really simple to capture those video and make them, you know, as a screenshot. So, I tell you, with my little 4, when I did that 5 upgrade, you know what happened with that?
What happened?
That I had to go and start from a new phone.
Oh, really?
I had to go and start from a new phone, and so I lost the pictures and stuff that I had on there.
Oh, wow, that sucks.
But yeah, I think I was reading elsewhere that it was up to the servers and stuff.
Yeah, it was. But I think if you were to try right now to upgrade to iOS 5, I think you would have no problem. I think it's all calmed down now, I think, wouldn't it? It's all settled down and stuff.
Yeah, it's all settled down now. So, I mean, it was only that initial rush.
Yeah.
Where it all fell over, and then so it worked. It worked fine.
Tell you what, I'm loving the iOS 5 notification on the iPad too, mate. It's so good. It just looks really good.
Yeah.
It's really nice and works so well and just smooth and, you know, there's no lag at all.
It makes a big difference with it, though. The other one I found with the upgrade too was the actual resetting everything, because we were starting with new. I had 5 pages of apps stored away on iTunes.
Yep.
So I had to go back and regroup them all so that they're all in my little groups that I created and stuff. And they were quite useful, but it just took a bit of time. And so I just went, okay. It was just part of the process to work with.
Now, Jason, Facebook has put out a new app for the iPad just the other day. What are your thoughts on that, mate?
And it's also the same type thing on the iPhone.
Yeah. Not a fan of that.
And it's on the touchpad.
It is, yes. I'm not a fan of the one on the iPhone, mate. Don't look at that.
Don't like it?
No, I don't like it. The iPad looks great. It looks great on the iPad. On the iPhone, it just doesn't look right to me.
It's a bit weird on the full screen.
What's that, Michael?
The iPhone's actually quicker now. The iPhone app for Facebook's actually quicker than the old one. To actually hang a bit.
Yeah. Personally, I like the older version of the iPhone app. The iPhone is the favorite and stuff because you can, like, you know, save pages of what you join and stuff and that sort of thing. But now you can't sort of get to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's set up as a page. It's I'm just having a look at it now. It's with the notifications right up on the top bar and sending messages out and doing all that. Mm. It has its own little much the same, but when we actually changed up for the iPhone, or like for Facebook, when they actually go through with the new interface, that's quite interesting to play with as well. So there's so many changes with these guys.
They can keep changing all the time. I haven't seen the new streaming type stuff that's coming out, but they said it should be coming out sometime the next week, I think.
Yeah, they're not far away. Did you guys download the new interface for Facebook?
No, not yet.
Like, it was only developer phase, but it's up so that your homepage is a profile page with a big picture across the top.
Are you talking about on the web, on the browser?
Yeah, on the web. Yeah.
Oh.
On the web one, so you can see, you can put it in developer phase, and make it work that way.
Oh, okay.
So several have tried it, and they're testing it now, of course, and then probably release. I think it's another month away, isn't it, something? So I wasn't sure, but so there's several things. So when I look at things, I look at all sorts of different applications and stuff. One little streaming app that we found, which is really great to use on all platforms, including Nokia, and I think they can use it on BlackBerry, as well as the Android and the iPhone, is Bambooza. I don't know if you've heard of it before.
No. What's that one about?
Bambooza will actually do a HD video as a live stream, and then if the quality is not that good, it will actually store the information, and from that, it'll actually, when you get back to Wi-Fi, you can actually download the stored information. But out of all those different platforms, that's one in particular we found which is quite effective and very useful to use. And anyone can do it with their iPhone or an Android device, any of the ones that run any of those systems. But one particularly that people just go and get their cheap smartphone in the Nokia and able to do it with that, because they've got an app for that as well. And there's not many streaming apps available for Nokia so that one does work. And I've seen it work on other people's phones and you know, they're taking little videos and stuff.
Wonder if they'll do it for Windows Phone 7.
I reckon they probably will. 7 and when the 8 comes out, the 8 looks good. The 8 looks really cool when we get to play.
All right, so Zosia, have we got any tech news today, man? Any news you want to report on? Or?
Sure, yep.
Go ahead, man, jump in.
Sony suffered two fresh blows recently after several of its Bravia LCD television sets emitted smoke. All parts began to melt and announced another PlayStation hacking incident affecting 93,000 accounts. Sony said it will offer free inspection and repairs available to 1.6 million of the TV sets which are affected globally. Sony Australia said it had recently become aware of a potential issue affecting a very limited number of 40-inch Bravia LCD TV models which were available for purchase in Australia from mid-2007 to late 2008. It also said intruders had staged a massive attempt to access user accounts on its PlayStation Network and other online entertainment services in the second major attack on its flagship gaming site this year. Sony's television unit is already heading for its 8th straight year of losses as it battles fierce competition from Samsung and LG of South Korea. The 11 overheating incidents all took place in Japan, but the faulty parts may affect TV sets sold around the world, the company said in a news release. Apple's bid to prevent Samsung from launching any new tablet in Australia until its patent infringement case goes into full hearing has been rejected by the federal court. Justice Annabelle Bennett also denied Apple's request that it be given advance copies of any tablet that Samsung may launch in Australia until the final hearing, which is likely to take place next year. The case will go to court for directions hearing on the morning of November 1, which is Melbourne Cup Day. Apple is suing Samsung for patent infringement, arguing the firm slavishly copied its market-leading iPad tablet. Despite being granted a temporary injunction that blocks Samsung from launching its Galaxy Tab 10.1 in Australia until a full hearing, Apple's lawyers said in court that they worried Samsung would just release a near-identical product under a different name. They requested Justice Annabella Bennett adjust her orders to prevent Samsung from launching any new tablet device in Australia. Samsung says Galaxy Tab 10.1, we say any tablet device, Apple's counsel told the court. New South Wales researchers have developed tiny artificial muscles that can twist like those in the trunk of an elephant or the arm of an octopus. Made from a tough, flexible yarn strung from carbon nanotubes, they could speed up the design of futuristic nanobots that can travel through the body detecting and treating disease. Jeff Spinks of University of Wollongong said a big hurdle to the development of medical nanobots was how to propel them in the bloodstream. His team's twisty artificial muscles would be small and strong enough to achieve this by turning a long propeller in the same way that bacteria use a long spinning tail to swim. But building such nanobots was still a distinct prospect. It would be a challenge, Professor Spinks of the ARC Centre of Excellence for Electromaterials Science said. So far, the artificial muscles have been used to carry out more mundane tasks, such as mixing liquids in the lab with a paddle. A carbon nanotube is a minuscule cylinder of carbon with a diameter of about 1/10,000th the width of a human hair. Members of the team at the University of Texas have developed an inexpensive way to spin the stiff nanotubes into a helical bundle of fibres or yarn that can be metres long. And the telecommunications regulator says complaints about spam advertising email have risen following its increased focus on consumer issues. ACMA Deputy Chair Richard Bean said his organisation had recorded its highest number of complaints about spam since the Spam Act began in 2003. Complaints about email and SMS messages surged up to 30,728 in total during 2010-11, up from 5,929 in the previous year, ACMA said. Email complaints in 2010-11 rose by 418% on the year before, while SMS-MMS messages rose by 377%. A number of things contributed to this, including our ability to generate greater awareness of ACMA's role in spam regulation, the success of our spam SMS service, and the streamlining of methods for reporting spam to ACMA, Mr. Bean said in a statement on Wednesday. And that's the news for today.
Good news, Jason, as always, mate. Great stuff. Aaron, what are your thoughts on them news stories? I'm sure you've got a high view on the Sony one.
Well, the Sony one is just funny for the fact that they had been hacked 20 times this year already, yep. And now it's happened again. They just can't catch a break. They've obviously become a target, so that's pretty funny. With the Samsung and Apple, it's getting pretty weird now. I actually posted on the site earlier this week about how a gentleman from FOSS, Free Open Source Software, said that basically the patent that Apple held, which they were using against Samsung, basically means that they could now kill any Android tablet in Australia if they wanted to. So it's not necessarily interesting what has happened right now, but it's interesting what will happen next, whether Apple will get super aggressive and basically wipe the market in Australia of Android tablets, because they technically can now, or at least basically stop them from being sold. So we'll sort of see what happens there. There's been rumors this week that the production of the next iPad has already started, and they're basically gearing up to basically launch that straight after Christmas. So we might see some more activity on that front.
The weirdest one rumor that I heard this week was about an iPad mini.
Really?
I heard that too.
Wow.
Yeah, no. They wouldn't change the screen size. It'd basically be that they just make a cheaper version. But yeah, we heard these rumors about the iPhone as well, and it didn't happen. I think that what you'll probably find is that this time around, when the iPad 2 came out, they immediately wiped the market of the original iPad. because there's a different form factor. What you'll probably find this time, though, is that the next iPad will have the exact same aluminum body as the iPad 2. It'll just be better parts inside, and the iPad 2 would see a price cut. So that's what I would be expecting, and your iPad 2, the cheap version of it, would be your iPad mini.
That'd be enough to keep the Apple ahead of everybody still.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Always a high-end and a low-end version of everything.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, and it's funny in tablets because they're really mopping up there. And I've had people arguing with me through my site this week because I gave a bad review of an Android tablet during the week. And I'm getting accused of being an Apple fanboy, but it's not that at all. It's just that the iPad came out first. Everything else is obviously an iPad copy, unless they're trying to go for a completely different price point or a different type of device.
Like the Amazon Fire.
It's exactly
the Amazon Kindle Fire. Is completely different categories, got nothing to do with the iPad, so no comparison needs to be done.
Exactly, yeah. And the only other hope is really Windows 8 tablets that can not only be a tablet device but also basically be the tower of your desktop PC solution. You just dock it with a keyboard, mouse, and key and a monitor. The iPad, they're doing so well with it, and they're going to continue to do well, such to the extent that they basically own that category, and no one can take it from them. You have to be totally different on price, or you basically have to be... I wrote an article about this as well a few months ago, that basically, you can't compete with the iPad, but if you had a device that competed with the iPad plus the iMac, or competing with the iPad and the MacBook, then you've got a story to tell there, because, instead of people buying multiple devices for different types of niches, which is what you're doing with Apple products right now, if you could buy one device that could be multiple computing solutions for you with one device, then you're saving money through that. That's the way to go. And I know that that's what the angle Microsoft will go for next year. It's going to be a long time more before we start seeing that being advertised,
Definitely. Yeah, I think I also saw that the BlackBerry Playbook is going through fire sale for $199 to get rid of them because nobody wants them, and they're giving up as well.
That's it. It's time to start over, and it's not necessarily consolidation of the devices that we're seeing, but it's a consolidation of the platforms. So it's really going to come down to Android, iOS, and Windows, and that's it.
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened yet, but it will.
That's the way to go.
Now, Michael, okay. What are your thoughts on them topics, man, on the news and on the news
thing? I was going to try and throw a funny spin. I don't know if you remember Ronnie Corbett. Ronnie Corbett did a skit around Christmas. On my BlackBerry's not working. He was in a fruit shop.
And yeah, that was very funny.
and so that surfaced again on this week was my BlackBerry's not working, because I think they had some major outages.
Yeah, 4 days.
And so so everyone's going around and quoting Roddy Corbett saying, "Oh, my BlackBerry is not working." So if you happen to find that, that's a BBC clip on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's very well worth having a great laugh with, in true British humour. So that would be my thing. And so it's very interesting to see the different people getting in and playing, and who's actually going for market share and who's actually withdrawing and stuff. We heard all the stuff with HP, but there's talk about that being spun off again. And to another company that's having another guy. Some of those Honeycomb and the Android devices that are in pads are actually really good and really easy to use. And some of them have got really great techniques for actually spelling and writing really quickly. So there are some benefits. It just seems really strange that they've all got to go and play the legal wars between each other just so that they can gain market share rather than coexist and make use of it.
Good thoughts.
All right, good on you, mate. Now, where can they find you on the internet, Michael? Now, I'll put a link in the show notes to your Google Plus site. Is that okay? Or is that
Yeah, that's fine.
Google Plus. Do you have a Twitter account?
I have a Twitter account. I have two. Yep. But the one that I use mainly is SM_doctor.
Yep.
So I'll go in and fix people's sites.
Cool.
Doing social media stuff.
Good stuff.
But the other one you can find me in is, of course, on Facebook. I have a page there Epic Business Tools. So I have several shout out pages around Australia that so people can go and put their site on there. And some people love it, some people don't. You can find me on a web page, but that's more a capture page of Epic Business Tools.
Yep.
Yep.
So they're the sort of things that I'll do. But most of my actual marketing is face to face, people I know and people I meet and people I meet online. So we get to chat. Same as the way I did with you guys was just by referral and getting to know people.
Definitely. Definitely. Good stuff. All right. Well, this has been episode 158. Jason, where can I find you on the internet as always?
You can find me at bluebillb.com and on Twitter, Warlock, WAULOK.
All right. And Jason? Aaron?
OzTech News, mate. OzTech News on Twitter and OzTechNews.com.
All right. You can find me at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast. Jason?
You lost the game.
Sarah, you lost the game.
You lost the game.
Yeah, you lost.
Yeah. She said, is that so?
Yeah, that is so. Sarah, you lost the game.
Must know that one.
Yeah, you lost the game.
See you next week.
Thanks, mate. See you next week. Enjoy the video version and the audio version. Thanks, mate. Thanks.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Podcast.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Tech Webcast on blip.tv and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes to make sure you always have the latest episode at your fingertips. Tech Webcast, Tech Talk for Geeks.